Hi, and welcome to the Roxy Hayes Podcast. I'm Roxy Hayes, your host, and I'm so excited to bring you this reimagined version of my podcast. This is where I get to dive deeply into all the things I'm curious about, whether it's nerd culture, pop culture, relationships, or just the wonderfully weird and interesting world around us. To kick things off, I'm releasing some of my favorite episodes from my past shows, like Bedtime Bitching, Anti-Meridian, and Tell Me a Story, all under this new name. It's the same fun and unpredictable vibe you know and love, just in one place. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this re-release episode of the Roxy Hayes Podcast.
Because it's like you don't really have a lot of comedy friends. Like, most people don't have actual comedy friends.
Right.
Like, you have people you fuck with and you meet, but like people that are your actual friends that you
right.
that know you on an out of comedy level, that's fucking dope.
Right.
Like, and it's always
right.
sad when something happens to those people. You're like, why can't it be that bitch that I don't like that
right.
much? It's always the good people.
Because in comedy, you kind of meet in the middle of the relationship.
Yeah.
It's like whoever you are, like all the baggage don't work, but we can connect right here. Mm-hmm. But like once you become friends and all the other stuff gets pushed into it, then you're like, oh, well, shit.
You are fucked. We're all fucked up.
Yeah,
We're so fucked up.
Exactly.
So I know it's already the middle of a conversation.
Yes,
yeah, welcome to Bedtime Bitching with Roxy. I am here today with one of my favorite just people in general.
You.
Like
yeah.
he's been a mentor to me. He's just an amazing fucking comedian. He's hilarious. Mr. Billy D. Washington.
Hey, what's up? OG. You know what OG is, right?
Original geek.
For real. So y'all taking this geek stuff. Y'all acting like it's brand new, man. I got the broken bones.
Were a geek when that shit wasn't cool.
I was a geek. I'm original glasses. These glasses ain't fashionable. I mean, hey, man, when glasses weren't even
monofake.
In, I was wearing glasses.
I'm gonna lie,
oh, really?
I didn't feel like doing all the makeup.
Yeah.
I feel like I have to confess that now. So anytime you see me with glasses, I will admit they are not real. They're usually because I'm lazy.
Yeah, unless, of course, you acquire an astigmatism.
I have 20/20.
Right.
I have perfect vision.
Okay.
I just like
I do not. If I took these glasses off, I'd be talking over here somewhere.
So how did you enjoy the
Yeah. But original, man, I had big feet before they were popular. I was like this kid, man, with like these big platypus feet. I mean, I would get teased for everything.
Damn.
It's kind of how I got into comedy. Seriously.
Really? So
man.
You were bullied.
Well, no, I wasn't a bully, but, like, I would always be able to find this thing, to talk about people.
Mm-hmm.
I'd always be able to talk about people. Find that one thing about them that would embarrass them.
They used to bully you.
Oh,
okay.
Oh,
and
man.
And then you used that as, like, y'all got me fucked up.
I used that as my creative juice to go, yeah, you talking about my feet, but what about your old cockeyed mother? I mean, and even if their mother wasn't cockeyed, because sometimes they're not cockeyed, but it's just, like, from a certain angle. You ever know them people?
Yep. It's
like straight ahead, it's cool, but if you see them from the side,
it's
kind of a little wild. So it'd be like, I would find that one thing about them till eventually, I'm not even making this up, till eventually I would have people to come with me. They go, hey, man, such and such is fucking with me. Can you find something?
Shit.
What can I say about them? And I go, okay, well, let me study them for a second. And I figure out whatever it was. And then the next thing you know, it would be a thing. So people knew I had a reputation in, from elementary through high school for just being able to talk about people. Like, I would give people nicknames that have stuck with them to this day.
Oh, really?
I just one dude, his name is Anthony Taylor. I love this dude, and I think he doesn't like me because I think he thinks that the nickname I gave him was some form of bullying because everybody called him that, but then he started calling himself that.
So it doesn't count.
To a point where he got a stitch on the back of his jacket.
Wait, what's the nickname?
Well, he had, when babies...
You're already laughing, and it's a baby, so I know it's fucked up.
So you know how some babies, like, when they lay on you keep them on their back too long, like they have the back of their head be flat?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so he had one to deal with, I guess his parents, had the back of his head. It was flat, so I called him nigga Skillet. So he was called Skillet, and then the name just caught on, so everybody around school was calling him Skillet because his head looked like a skillet.
That's a dope nickname,
though. Right? Hey, Skillet, what's up? So they love Skillet. But I heard, after we graduated and stuff, somebody told me, it was like, hey, man, Anthony, he holds animosity against you.
For calling him Skillet?
Because you labeled him this nickname that has some sort of emotional effect on him. And if I ever saw him, I would apologize. I mean, just like any, but I wasn't bullying because I was a dude getting beat up, too. But it was just like, it was an affectionate nickname.
Mm-hmm.
It was Skillet. It wasn't old flathead ass nigga. That would be different. It would be like, no, your mother didn't keep you on your back your whole time. It was, it was what
Skillet.
What I saw. So he identified with it, and that it is what it is. So, but yeah, man. So I'm an original geek. original.
I'm still laughing at Skillet.
Skillet, man. Because
I'm picturing people yelling at the Ego Skillet.
Skillet.
That's a dope ass.
Yeah, and he walked down. I mean, when he graduated, even his family was calling him.
Oh.
Like, coming across the stage, Anthony Taylor. Everybody's like, Skillet!
Oh, shit. It's always weird, like, because I've had somebody that said that I was bullied. So I was bullied as well. Mm-hmm. Like, I used to, that's, I think a lot of us were bullied because we were weird. You
right.
know, that's how you kind of learn how to be, like, observational and kind of look at stuff differently because, like you said, you're now you're looking for this thing. I was bullied too, but I had somebody, like, 2 years ago, this chick said that I bullied her.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, bitch, I did not fucking shut the fuck. You said something to me, and what I said was funnier.
Yeah.
That's what it usually is. It's not that I was bullying you. The thing I said was funnier, and it stuck, because I had everybody calling her Miss Piggy.
Right.
But she was talking shit to me, and she legit did look like Miss Piggy.
Yeah.
And I did the noise and the voice and shit like that, and everybody laughing. Kermy, and I'm doing it. And people
wait,
laughing.
Wait, now do it again.
Piggy. Yeah. Well, not my fault that I was just better at this thing than you. But she like was writing me these long, long ass messages like, the reason I used to cry at night and all of this shit. And I'm like, I would be sympathetic, but I'm not because you, but it's because you started it. Like you, in this situation, you were talking shit to me and I retaliated.
Right.
It wasn't like I just came at you. No, you said some shit.
Right.
And I was like, if you want these hands, you can still get them to this day.
Right.
Like they're available.
Right.
Like I tried to get them.
I can either pray for you
or
whatever
whoop
else.
Your ass.
Yeah.
But I want to do the latter.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But I do the former
if
I have to.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to pop.
But the thing is, is like the thing that I understand, like when I got bullied, like I know that among us, like as kids, and everybody got it.
Yeah.
Everybody got it.
Legit.
But the fighting part was the thing that took it too far.
Yeah.
Like for me to call somebody a nickname that was pretty innocuous, you know?
Yeah.
It didn't have any. If somebody called that dude
no
Skillet, like
intent,
if somebody heard, he probably got hair now. He's covered up the flat part of it.
Oh, it was bald too?
Yeah, it was bald. So he probably got hair.
That makes sense.
So, you know what I'm saying? But, like, I would love to, like, in a situation like that, because this dude was a friend of mine.
I'm sorry. How do I...
but I'm pretty sure he called me some stuff back in the day, too, but it just didn't stick.
Yeah.
Because they would call me Silly Billy, Bean Dip Billy.
Bean Dip?
Yeah, just so stupid.
Like,
just,
corny shit.
Yeah, corny stuff. You know, I get Billy D. Williams my whole life, and that's the only time I really get it's infuriating.
It's just annoying.
Because it's never original. Like, if somebody does something original by Billy D. Williams, then that's cool.
Yeah.
But just man, you want to drink a Coke 45? Yeah, I'll take a Coke 45 and show
but
it
then, like,
head.
The thing you're bullying me about is dope. Like, he's a dope person. How
are you going to
bully me about
something cool? Right, and see, but the fighting part was the part. And that's where, that's like the real deep-seated OG comes in because, I get chased home from school. But
oh,
you said something, like, super important earlier that I think is crucial for the development of black comedians is being observational.
Yeah.
You know, I know we've discussed this before. You know, when I came up, man, it's like comedians basically had, you know, five different subjects that they could talk about. You know, they talk about, you know, being poor, what that was, talking about being ghetto, talking about sexual, like eating coochie.
Coochie.
Yeah,
and
coochie.
You have to say coochie.
Yeah.
It's always coochie.
You got to say coochie.
You cannot say pussy, vagina, no, it's coochie.
No, it's always coochie. But they had like five things that they would recycle and pretty much make them their own. Well, I was observational.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there were just stuff that I wanted to talk about that I thought was funny, you know, that they thought, well, you know, you're trying to be this way, trying to be that way and whatever, but...
Like,
the thing
no,
is, it's like...
That's something I see.
But I think that we have the responsibility. Well, I'm not going to assume that you believe this.
But I probably do.
But I think that we have the responsibility to expand the knowledge base of black comedy fans.
We need to.
Just so they'll know that everything isn't just physical comedy.
No,
everything just isn't coming up dancing and whatever.
Fucking the stool.
Right.
Stop fucking the stool! I'm so sick of motherfuckers. Fuck the air. I have a sex joke and I kind of hump. But it's because it's part of the joke.
Right.
A lot of times it's not even part of the joke.
Yeah.
You don't need it. I'm sorry, I just got so angry.
Yeah.
You don't need stop doing it. It's not new. It's not original. It makes people uncomfortable.
Right.
And then the stroke is whack as fuck. Stop fucking the
stool.
I'm so tired of it.
Yeah.
But that
is
something. So, like, when I first started, I was trash.
Sure.
You know, as usual. But, you know, I did it for like 2 years and then I quit. And during that time I quit, that's kind of when I came back and kind of did. I was like, you know, I'm going to talk about shit that I think is funny because I'm sick of hearing comedians talk about the same shit. So
right.
I want to talk about something different. And so even when I talk about sex, I try to talk about it in a way that's different or maybe they haven't heard it like that before. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think you told me that you really liked it. It was something about the pink penis and how I was comparing it to like food and how like saliva and like how pink doesn't create saliva. Like I try to incorporate like actual facts and like knowledge and stuff that you can study within my comedy, because I'm like, I want it to be funny, but like I do want, and it sounds cliche, but I do want people to learn. I do want you to come in here with some other kind of knowledge that you didn't have, or else I feel like I wasted your time.
Right.
If you sat here for an hour, I did an hour, and you left exactly that. You didn't feel anything. You didn't learn anything. You laugh, and then you forget about it. And
right.
Then,
because because we are the most popular orators, mm-hmm. you know, and politics, ain't nobody listening to politicians right now. But we are the most popular orators, well, other than rappers.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably, like, in this culture. Mm-hmm. So in order to take that, I mean, to ignore the opportunity to be able to say something, to take something simple, like mm-hmm. I'm doing a bit right now, about why black people are late, because mm-hmm. I try and deconstruct these stereotypes. Mm-hmm. Why black people are late?
I love that.
Okay, because you know, if you think about it, and I make up this incredible example about this hypothesis that I had, mm-hmm. and then I put it to the test. So in my mind, melanin mm-hmm. has an adverse effect on alkaline and lithium. So I said up front, sounds like a lot.
Yeah.
But if you really break it down, like when people start to giggle, then I go, okay, then they're starting to get it. It has an adverse effect on alkaline and lithium. And what are watch batteries made of? Alkaline and lithium. So if melanin has an effect mm-hmm. on the watch battery, that means the darker you are,
the later you're gonna be.
You feel me? So it's like, okay, you can do a black people late joke, okay, by white niggas always late, white niggas always this late, whatever. Yeah. But to do a flip side of it, like, you know, nobody's ever broke it down in chemicals and stuff.
And that's so dope. Well, and that's what I love. That's the reason I love watching you, because I'll be watching like, oh, shit, oh.
Yeah,
and it's
yeah.
like you don't know where you're going to take it. But right. you kind of, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you have the knowledge, you're like, oh, I think he's going to, that's what he said. And it's so, right. I just get happy.
Yeah,
I get really happy watching you.
But I appreciate that, Roxy. But you know what? And it was hard coming up like that, too, mm-hmm. because... You know, if you couldn't work the black rooms, and it wasn't like I couldn't work black rooms, but I started to get that, I got that reputation. But the problem was, is like I was competing with these white dudes, man. And I don't even know how to say this and make it not sound bad, but it just felt like I didn't want to be challenged among people that it really wasn't that much of a challenge.
Gotcha.
Like, I can't write like that because I've never been super ghetto. Mm-hmm. Like, I grew up Christian home. Mm-hmm. Man, I couldn't even listen to R&B. We listened to all Christian stuff.
Oh, shit.
Went to inner city high school. Mm-hmm. You know, got bullied. I know all that stuff. All that stuff was real. I know how to fight and whatever. But went to an all-white college, third mm-hmm. year in it, went to the police academy. So I was never exposed
so you have
to like the
different.
So I'm like, mm-hmm. hey man, you know, my friends, man, I'm gonna let y'all have that.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
I don't need that because I'm trying to compete with these dudes mm-hmm. who look at me as a novelty. They look at me as something that's not special. They like, man, he can't think on our level. Mm-hmm. Like I would hate it when they would tell me, like I'd see black comedians go up and then I'd get condescending white comedians to come up here and go, hey man, that ain't gonna work on here. You gotta do that on the other side of the tracks.
And you know what's crazy?
Do they still
yes,
do that?
Yes, that's what I was gonna say. How long have you been doing it?
Oh, 27, 28 years.
They're still doing that shit. Like that's what I was getting. And I think that's why like I think I relate to you so much, because like a lot of the shit is what the fuck I was getting. Like, they're telling me, like, my shit's not gonna work here, or I can't do this here, or, like, I got the, like, I can't work black rooms. I got
right.
that a lot.
Right.
And I'll always get introduced as, like, well, this is a smart comedian.
Yeah.
And so there would always be, like, some type of, you know, when they do that, and, like, I hate saying hood rooms, but that's what those are hood rooms.
Yeah.
Like, people get confused with black rooms and hood rooms.
Right.
Black rooms were predominantly black, and then there's hood rooms. So when you say, oh, this person's a smart comedian, a lot of them think, like, oh, this bitch thinks she's better than us.
Right.
And so, like, it's like, you know, so I get that. And it's like, you know, you're trying to fight through that. And it's like, I don't want to fight you to give you information. I want to just talk and have a conversation. So, like, now I've learned, I think now that I'm getting some, it, you know, also once they know you or you get notoriety, they're more willing to listen. Mm-hmm. But it's really hard. Mm-hmm. And then I would go do, like, you know, the predominantly white rooms. And then I would still get some, like, we don't want to hear that shit from you.
Right.
Like, we don't want to hear a black woman talking about Jane Austen. We don't want to hear that shit.
Right.
I was like, where the fuck am I supposed to go? Where do I perform? But I am thankful for social media because I did build a following. I just was able to do my own shows. And then once I got good, and, you know, I was able to kind of, now I can kind of go anywhere and do what the fuck I want. But that shit hurts your feelings.
And the thing is, like, when it comes to the black rooms, it's not their fault. It's not your fault either.
No, it's not.
It's not your fault that my I don't even say knowledge base, that my base of reference is more expanded than yours.
Yeah, it's a disconnect.
And I want to talk about, man, I can't do it in the same vernacular that XYZ comedian can. Mm-hmm. I would love to. Like, I'm working on a one-man show right now, and I'm working on it perpetually, and it's called Escape from Real Niggerdom. Mm-hmm. And I think I was doing it with your camera. Yeah. And one of my first lines is that I have officially retired from my pursuit of real niggerdom. Mm-hmm. I can't do it anymore. I tried for a long time. I wore the jacket. Some of my favorite people are real niggas. Mm-hmm. Like, my daddy's a real nigga. Yeah. My uncle is a real nigga. You know, I mean, but I have retired from my pursuit of it because I can't be that dude. Mm-hmm. Not like I don't want to be that dude. Yeah. I'd love to be that dude. Like, I was on a Def Jam tour.
Oh, shit.
We did, when we would do, like, the super mainstream markets, mm-hmm. like Tampa, I would crush. I would be the most impressive person on the show because it'd be, like, this mainstream crowd and whatever the whole deal.
And they're ready and they have different frames of reference and
different
stuff
perspectives,
like that.
Yeah. And you could tell when the promoters would promote on the mainstream radio stations because everybody wanted to hear it. And you can go to the cities and tell when they just promoted on the hood stations. Mm-hmm. Because I did St. Louis, got booed off the stage.
You got booed?
I mean, I got a standing ovation in Tampa one night. Next weekend, did the same material in St. Louis and got booed off the stage. Correct.
So what does that do, like, mentally to you?
What?
Like, how did that make you, like,
the
you
boo?
Know? Yeah, or just the whole thing to have the juxtaposition.
No,
I still
have PTSD from...
Really?
I'm not even playing. I still have PTSD from having been booed off that stage in St. Louis. So I go up. No, Joe Torre. I'm on the bill. It's Joe Torre, Guy Torre. It's me. It's Talent. It's Adele Givens.
Oh,
and
shit.
It's Tommy Davidson's clothes.
Oh, shit.
So Joe goes up. Now, this St. Louis, I can already tell there's murderers in the room. Mm-hmm. It's packed, like 3,500 people at the Fox Theater.
What year is this?
Oh, man, this is 97, 98.
Okay, so this is real deep into Def Jam.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
shit.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So Joe gets up. He's having problems with the crowd. And I know Joe's doing his thing, though. You know, he's sniping. He's doing his thing. Joe's getting them because that's what Joe does.
Yeah.
They know him. You know, he going to strangle him into submission.
Yeah, like, y'all going to fuck with this.
Right. So then Guy goes up. Guy goes and he does something really smart. He ain't gonna do his material. He starts talking about high schools. He goes, who in here from Roosevelt? Man, fuck Roosevelt. Motherfuckers were great, whatever the mascot was, whoever, da 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 da. Who in here from da 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 da? His whole 20 minutes was basically doing high school stuff.
Gotcha.
Brilliant approach. Did it work? Weaved a few jokes in there and then he survived. But still, they were loud, they were murmuring. The whole deal was never quiet. I get on stage with my little cute shit that I've done on, that I've won on Def Jam. I did this joke about the no-arm basketball player. I did this joke about the dead roach, you know. Mm-hmm. But you have to have patience to listen to see what it is, because it wasn't just straight ahead.
It's not like that or aggressive, and then you don't have an aggressive style.
And I don't have the vernacular.
Yeah.
So, man, I started hearing some boos kind of ring out on the edge. I started to panic a little bit. So I thought, man, let me get to this keyboard. Because, you know, I play the keyboard.
Yeah.
And people, I know this song people love on the keyboard. So I get off the keyboard and whatever. And then this overweight black lady on the front. When I say overweight, because it contributes to the story.
So, yeah,
so
visually.
She says, get off the stage, motherfucker. You ain't funny. And everybody started laughing.
And so she's loud, too, because, you know, yeah, ooh.
And I get it. And I'm infuriated at this point. And then I go, shut up, you fat-ass black bitch. Never realizing in that moment. That 60% of the people in there. So as soon as I said that, man, they immediately started to turn on me. Boo started raining down. So I go into my song that I'm going to do because it's a big song, big hit on Def Jam called The Fat Lady Blues. I'm thinking this is going to get them back. No, that was fuel to the fire.
Yeah.
I got the blues. I said, I'm going to dedicate this song to you. Nigga, I don't want to hear no goddamn. Get up.
Oh, my God.
I got the blues. I got the fat lady. But, man, they started booing. Oh. I mean, and it's one thing to get booed by 200 people. But when you see hearty disdain from 3,500
people.
3,500 people? 3,500 people. It still stings me to this day.
Oh.
But in Joe Torre's offense, Joe came back out. Joe said, man, fuck y'all. He's like, man, that's why I don't nobody want to bring them to St. Louis, because y'all niggas is too ignorant. He's like, man, this nigga is an artist. he not only has he been on Def Jam, he started rolling off some other one of my credits. Like, man, this is a quality comedian. He's an artist. If you motherfuckers don't act right, we gonna shut the show down right now. Because they like animals
rowdy
the entire time.
The whole time, yeah.
So then and Talent comes out. Mm-hmm. And Talent is amazing anyway. Mm-hmm. And he was gonna kill anyway. He didn't even need Joe's bump. He was gonna do well anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, then is the mouth thing yeah. and when this go, I go. So Talent comes out and kills. Mm-hmm. Paradigm shift. Mm-hmm. Now everybody's quiet. They're listening. They're the right comedy. Adele comes out, kills. Mm-hmm. Tommy Davidson comes out, kills. He didn't do as well as everybody else, but still. So then Joe did the thing at the end of the show that every comedian hates, no matter whether you did good or not. He wanted to bring everybody back out. Oh, man.
I hate that.
It's like, welcome out. Hey, God, Tori. Nigga, she saved me from last. Tommy Davidson. And then he goes, and y'all clap it up for Billy D. Washington. And man, these old sarcastic ass niggas, when I came out, they gave me a standing ovation.
Oh, shit. Ow.
And I'm like,
I'm an empath. So like literally this whole story, that's why I'm like,
It was like this concurrent sarcasm. Like they got together and said, when he came out,
and that's one of the worst. That we hate that anyway. Yeah. When you know you do bad, and somebody tells you to do good.
Yeah.
So for 3,500 people to be like, you motherfuckers.
It was a perfect storm of circumstance because that weekend, on top of all that, I had a deal in place with Carsey Werner. They wanted to give me a $30,000 holding deal to develop a show. My manager at the time, Stan Latham, because I was with SLBG, it was Stan Latham, Russell Simmons, Brillstein and Gray. Mm-hmm. They had a company, several of us in there. Most of the people you know, they've gone on to do great things.
Mm-hmm.
But Stan had a deal he wanted to deal with Castle Rock. He was like, hey man, if we just don't do the Carson Warner deal for $30,000, I guarantee you Castle Rock is going to give us more money on Monday morning.
Mm.
So that weekend happened, thinking Monday morning, like, man, you know, man, I'm getting ready to get, I got some shit, I'm about to have a TV show, I'm ready to get paid and whatever. Monday morning, I had two calls. One is Stan went back to Carson Warner, tried to get more money from them, on my behalf, I don't fault him for that, tried to get more money. They balked on a deal. Stan gave him an ultimatum. They're like, you know what? We're going to pass.
Mm-hmm.
So then he thought he had Castle Rock. Castle Rock came back. They were like, you know what? Nah.
Oh, fuck.
So not only did I get booed in front of 3,500 people, by Tuesday, I didn't have a holding deal. I didn't have anything. And pretty much my life in Hollywood was over. Yeah, so you talk about bad weekends. You talk about a bad show on a late show Friday night, and you talk about hell weeks.
Oh, that made my stomach hurt. Oh my God!
But that is the worst story of my career. But I've had all these other amazing stories, like being in Radio City Music Hall with Aretha Franklin,
which is dope,
which is crazy, and having Bette Midler to call me cute and give
Bette Midler called me cute,
gave me a kiss on my cheek. And I was getting ready to leave the room because Aretha called me in the room. She says, you have a fan. And I'm thinking it's some random person in the audience. Uh-huh. I get in there, I'm like, this must be a Bette Midler looking like. Is this a cross-dresser looking like Bette Midler? And it was literally her tiny lady, really
She's
short.
So little.
And she says to me, oh, you're so cute. Can I give you a kiss on the cheek? I'm like, kiss on the cheek?
Oh, no, Billy!
So she gives me a kiss on the cheek. And I'm getting ready to leave the room. And Miss Franklin says, why are you leaving? Just sit down. So I'm sitting in the room for about 20 minutes watching Aretha Franklin and Bette Midler chop it up, just trying to integrate myself into the conversation.
Yeah.
They got these massive stories about this crazy stuff, and I'm talking about, I was at the Laugh Stop 2 weeks ago. And so with that, there are 100 great stories.
Mm-hmm.
But, bro, you always remember the most messed
why
up
Why do
one.
We do Why?
I don't
this
know.
This is human.
I don't know.
We always focus on the negative. Like, even when we're performing, you always see that motherfucker that's not laughing.
You always see
everybody could be laughing.
Yeah.
Like, you little son of a bitch.
Yeah.
And then I hate, like, I'm finally getting to the point where I'm stopping to do this. Like, I consciously am aware of it. Like, you would be performing, but then you start performing to that person because it's almost like a desperation. Like, please? Please, you?
Yeah.
Come on, like, please, I need
you
to. But, so I'm like, now I'm like, nah, fuck you. I'm just going to.
Right.
You know, like,
what a classic line is, sir, you having a good time?
Yeah.
I'm having a good time. Well, tell your face.
Yeah, that's like, bitch,
what are you doing? Yeah.
I always hate. This pisses me off. This is probably one of the things that makes me most upset is when that motherfucker's not laughing the whole time.
Yeah.
And then that person comes up to you after the show.
Oh,
man. You son of a bitch.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, you were so funny. I loved you. I'm like, Then I'm like, well, maybe they're just not a person that likes to laugh. Because some people, I realize, they don't like to outwardly laugh.
Sometimes they just appreciate the math of it.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I can see how that's funny. Because like a lot of times, at comedy shows, that's how I am. Like, okay, I'm not laughing at it, but I can see how people would laugh at it. But it's cool because I think that, like, in a lot of ways, you know, creatively we are the same person because you aren't afraid to take those creative risks because I can tell that you are a super selfish person on stage. It's like you're gonna say what you want to say, and if they don't like it, it's cool. Like for me, I'm going to always, because I cannot experience anything worse than I experienced in St. Louis. So honestly speaking, it totally helped me as a performer.
Yeah.
Because y'all can't do to me what them, because I had to walk out. Think about this. I had to walk out of there that night. Yeah, it's okay to be, okay, you that bombing dude from a comedy club or from a bar gig, but man, you that bombing dude in front of
it. Everybody, you lucky it wasn't when phones were around.
Oh man, my God. I'd have met my boy Doug Williams with the.
He follows me on Twitter now.
Dude, but Doug.
He's so funny.
Doug is a beast.
He's so That's why it sucks that, like, that's the thing.
That's his thing.
But he's so fucking funny.
But you know
funny.
What? If you get a chance, he addressed it recently. I think on his Facebook or on his Instagram. And honestly speaking, when he talks about it so in-depth. He goes to the core of his hurt when it happens, but he's talked about how he's ascended out of it. You know, a lot of people, they say they over it, but you don't believe they over it because they're talking about it. But when you read it, he gives you tangible evidence. And man, when you see, like, I work with Doug a lot on cruise ships. Next time I'm here, we'll do a whole 30 minutes. Well, if, you know, if you invite me back.
Oh, yeah, of course.
We'll do a whole 30 minutes on that. But man, they have some cruise ships that are like kind of hood ships. But they're mainstream hood ships. Because if you can afford a cruise, you ain't broke. So we do these ships together. I handle mine. But Doug gets up, and Doug is the mayor. Doug crushes.
Oh, shit.
And then when people recognize him from that video, then they're like, man, aren't you that dude? I thought you wasn't funny. Like, y'all, I'm funny.
I was arguing with somebody about that. I was like, for him to be on there, he had to be funny.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It just wasn't his night that night. Jamie was just funnier that night.
And
wasn't his
night. But the story was, like, Doug and Jamie were trash talking before the show.
Yeah.
And then Jamie got the one up on him on the thing. And that was the deal. So he talks about this whole thing. So if you get a chance.
I'm going to watch
it. Doug is my dude, man. If you get a chance, I don't know how far. He did it several months ago. But if you get a chance, read the story behind it because it's a great story. Yeah.
That's dope.
Yeah, man.
And like what you said about the I always reference this like whenever I'm about to perform or like, because sometimes I still get in my head and I'm like, I feel like, am I doing this right? You know what I'm saying? Like, because I see other people doing their stuff and I'm getting laughs and people love me, but I'm like, I always kind of have this thing like, okay, do y'all like my comic or do y'all like me?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, am I actually funny or do you like me? But then I remember you were like, your shit's like jazz. And I always think about that shit.
Right.
Like, well, I just don't have, it's not a flow. I'm just doing what the fuck I want to do. Well, and I'm kind of, you know.
Well, because you have an expansive reference space. And if you keep developing and you keep honing that material that ain't nobody else talking about, that's the thing. I mean, you're looking at everything. It's going to set you apart. But when somebody sees an industry showcase, they don't want to see, like, the same stuff that everybody been talking about before. You know, they want to see something, an idea, even if it's not knocked down, drag out funny. Like that, the melanin joke with the alkaline, that ain't knocked down, drag out funny. But man, that's a respectable bit.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, when it comes to developing, I mean, everybody wants to work. Everybody wants to make money. Everybody wants to get paid at this. Like, some people want to be famous. My days of wanting to be famous are over. Would I like to be popular? Of course I like to be popular. Would I like being a household name? I never wanted to be an actor. All I want to do is work. Like, so from the beginning, people recognize me because I talked about different stuff. I was that black dude. I wasn't safe. I wasn't, this is a black dude who's trying to be white so he can work for white rooms.
And I hate that shit. Because I don't want to, it's one of, and I'm getting over that. Because I used to want to be like, no, I love us. I'm so pro-black. I'm so about the culture and us as a people. But I had to be like, fuck it. If you don't think that, then you just have to think what you think. Like, there's no way. And I'm not going to force
that.
And it sucks.
Isn't this the only occupation where people look down upon you for thriving in a white-driven area?
It's fucking ridiculous. Yeah. Anywhere else, they're like, oh, you're doing well.
Yeah, you get the same dude that would talk trash to you about working in an all-black room. In the same conversation, he'll brag about him being the only black dude in the office.
Yeah, and it's like, why are you happy about that?
Why are you happy about that? And but you,
what's, but you're judging
me for.
And it's like, I just go where they pay me.
But that's the thing. It's like, there were far more places to work. if you could work mainstream, then that word, I had a family to feed. I've always had a family in comedy. Yeah. So it's not like
me I'm too. I got a daughter. So yeah, you know, it's like, I'm like, what they paying me.
It's not just like willy-nilly, I'm going for some vanity stuff to get some drinks and some coochie and whatever. Never been me. Yeah. People know, they ain't never been me.
And here's another thing that makes me mad about that when they say you're doing white rooms. It's like, I'm doing mainstream rooms. There are black people in here.
Right.
Like, so that makes me mad. You're saying that black people can't afford these tickets?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But most of my audience, is just even my fan base, is black.
Yeah.
It's like 98% black. So that all that just kind of makes me mad. And I try not to like internalize it.
Yeah. Because sometimes you want to, when you be in front of a, like an all-white situation with a few black people in it, like, you can almost see the pride beaming, especially older black people.
Oh, they love it.
Like, if they even if they don't get it. Mm-hmm. Like, I got this whole block on my new CD coming out. It's called the Washington Post. It'll be out later on this month on 400 platforms all over the world.
I will definitely be sharing it.
but I have this whole block about the word nigga. Mm-hmm. And I love doing it in front of all white people. Because I do it unapologetically, and I don't do it in the way that kisses up to them.
Yeah.
I break down what it means, and then I add a punchline to it, which is cool. And I see black people in the room, and even if they don't laugh,
they're like, yeah, motherfucker.
And those are the black people who I want to be fans.
Yeah. People that get it, and they love you, and they understand, and they're like, but I fuck with him. Yeah.
If you don't like what I do, hey, man, it's not your fault.
It's not my fault. It's a disconnect.
It's just a disconnect. It's whatever it is.
I'm going to start saying that.
That's what's up, man.
That's our shit. I'm sad because I want you to be here longer.
Hey, we can do it again one day.
We wrapped up. Yeah, you're definitely coming back.
Because
like
that.
I said, you're one of my, I just love talking to you.
Yeah.
We didn't tell them that, but we just be up talking shit.
And we hit it off immediately.
Yeah.
And we be doing these late nights for your viewing audience. We be doing these late night messaging sessions.
I love talking comedy.
Yeah,
it's talking shit about people just a little bit. But
yeah, and then like I have a joke that I know I can't do, and then I hit you with it. Go, hey.
It was one you gave me to actually use.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't remember which one.
But then we took it. I think I had been drinking, and you know, you were on the floor, and it, we just for an hour, tags and tags and tags. And I was on the other end crying, and we had all kind of emojis. Yeah, so it was funny.
And it was like that was the night my daughter was like, "Shut up," because I was just like.
Yeah, man. But I'm glad we're friends.
Yeah, me too.
I really am glad we're friends.
And I'm happy to see you.
Yeah.
Like I said, Mr. Billy D. Washington, he does a lot of cruise ships, but he also performs everywhere. So if you see him, if you see his name, go to one of his shows. Where can they find you?
Everything is Billy D. Washington. Billy D. Washington on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, and I still have a presence on AOL Communities.
Cool.
So if you remember that, you hit me up.
Damn, you old.
I'm old, man. I'm old, man. But I still got these teeth.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. This has been This has been a hilarious episode of Bedtime Bitching with Roxy. I am your host, Roxy Hayes. Go to sleep. That's all it is. Take your ass to sleep.
If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to follow me on social media at Roxy Hayes, RoxyHaze. And if you'd like to support the show and get access to exclusive content, visit my Patreon at patreon.com/RoxyHaze. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, and turn on notifications so you never miss an episode. See you next time, and stay curious.